Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hi, everybody. Pastor Rick here. Today's the unofficial beginning of summer as we enter into Memorial Day weekend. And so we've got a lot of folks that are out on vacation or starting their vacations, including our own lead pastor, Pastor Matt Kladnick. He's out with Pastor Grace, and they're already up north in Seattle to attend our denomination's national Foursquare convention. I will also be joining them along with our other staff pastors. We leave tomorrow morning. And because of that, there's a lot of folks in town and folks out of town. And so as Matt and I were discussing what would happen here at the pulpit today, I said, you know, because of all the different things that are going on this weekend, there's a special person in town, Pastor Val Chavez. And he goes, oh, from the Philippines. And I was like, yes. For those of you that don't know, Pastor Val Chavez is actually here with us today. He will be our special guest speaker in just a moment. Pastor Val is a pastor, but not just your ordinary kind of pastor. He served just until recently as the president of Foursquare in the Philippines. That means he pastored over 2,000 churches. Yeah. He needed a little rest, and so decided to retire from that position, but Foursquare wasn't going to let him go very far. So he is now the pastor over one of the largest Foursquare churches in the Philippines, in Capital City, a congregation of over 1,000 people. His lovely wife, though, is not here with him because right now they're awaiting the birth of their third grandchild. And so, we look forward to that. But he's here with us today. We are just honored to be able to have him with us. Would you welcome with me to the pulpit, Pastor Val Chavez.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Ricky. Good morning. Happy Memorial Day. Well, I'm so happy to have been given this privilege to be with you today. I finally retired from position, but the organization assigned me to pastor another church for at least 2 years. So my retirement has been put on hold, although I was quite ready to go back home because I came from the middle part of the Philippines. How many of you have been to the Philippines? Okay, one, two. Would you like to go back to the Philippines? Yeah, of course. Of course you are invited to go. Hallelujah. And there are a lot of exciting things that are going on there. And we praise the Lord for His blessing. We always believe that God has His hand on the Filipinos. And the work of the Lord is growing. When I retired, there were already 2,000 churches. And it is growing. And it is growing. And the church that I'm pastoring right now, although it was beyond my imagination that I would still be pastoring. You know, I'm almost 70 years old. I look like almost 70, so I look like I'm 68. But anyway, it's always fun serving the Lord as long as you know what you are doing and you know what you are supposed to be doing. And the task that God has given to us. But I'd like to remind all of us that ministry has something to do with compassion. Yeah. You know, take away compassion from the ministry, it's no ministry at all. Right. Compassion is the determining factor that causes us to move forward and do something and serve God with all of our hearts. Without such compassion, nothing is going to happen. Amen. So I'd like to read a portion of Scripture today. Although I will be sharing a lot of instances in the scriptures wherein the Lord, or we will find the Lord, you know, walking everywhere if He had the opportunity. You know, the work of Jesus Christ was really to minister to people. there is not a lull moment in his life. He always finds opportunities to touch people's lives. And it is supposed to be the kind of a life that the church should have. That the church should always be in the move, looking for people who are actually hurting. And there are so many of them. And we just came from a mission trip in an island province in Mindanao. That is where I grew up. I was 6 months old when my family brought me to that island. And we had a mission trip. We have medical and dental services. And at the same time, we planted a church. And so there were like 200 people who have accepted the Lord. Now, that island is really very Catholic. And I remember during my days when I was young that everyone who would come to preach the gospel, I was one of the persecutors. I mean, we would throw stones at them. You know, we tried to stop the preaching of the gospel because I did not know Jesus yet. And now I am coming back to that island and preaching the gospel. And we praise the Lord for 200 people who have given their lives to the Lord. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, of course, that is always made possible because God has put something in our hearts. And that is to have compassion on people who have needs. In fact, I just feel in my spirit that we need to really pray for those who are sick today. I was beginning to feel something in my body, and I know God has healed you. I believe someone here has some kind of a problem with your left leg. Sometimes you don't have that numbness, and there seems to be no power. There seems to be no strength on your leg, but God has healed you. God would like you to live in His healing. And also, I really felt in my heart today that somebody was having some pains on your back. You know, it has something to do with your kidney. But the Lord is so faithful. He's able to heal us from any kind of disease. Hallelujah. That is the reason why He came. And that is the reason why He established the church so that we can become an arms to touch all those who are actually in need of Jesus Christ. According to chapter 9, beginning from verse 35, and it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." Then verse 37, "Then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest.'" Father, we thank You for Your word today. Thank You that this will serve as an inspiration to all of us. It is food to our soul and our body. And it is, oh Father, Your strength for those who are actually weak. Father, we thank You for we can come to You with no hesitation because we know that You are a Father who loves us so much. Thank You that You have given us love, given us Your mercy. And anyone who comes to You, people who are actually in need, You are not going to turn them down. We give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, move with compassion. That is something that I'd like to talk about today. Move with compassion. Everything that we do actually has some kind of a feeling that goes with it. Why do we have to eat? Because we are hungry. Or perhaps we are preparing ourselves that, you know, we are on a trip, and then just in case you do not have anything to buy on the road, then you eat in advance so that at least you can survive the whole day. So we are always moved with something for us to act on something that we have to do. When we have children, and I praise the Lord that the third grandchildren, oh, I like to play with my grandchildren, by the way. But the only problem I had is that when I became a grandfather, I was already 60 years old. So what can a 60 years old do when your children or grandchildren are running around and they want you to run with them? And you can always make your excuses, oh, your grandfather is, you know, tired. And they would understand, but many times they will drag you again to let you run. But that is all the fun that we have in the family, right? I love grandchildren. And in few hours, my third grandchild is going to come out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my grandkids call me Lulu. I don't know why it was a little bit, you know, Lulu. It's supposed to be Lolo. It's actually like grandfather. But that is how we call our grandparents. But I'm excited. So there are a lot of things that excite us. The church should always be excited, and as much as Jesus was excited when he was on earth. We always look at Jesus as if he was a person that was so lonely. You know, the way he was being depicted is a kind of a God that seemed to not understand about happiness at all. But there were moments in the scripture wherein you will find how excited Jesus was. In fact, one of the excitement that he has is that everywhere he goes, he'd like to be with people. And he'd like to be with people who are actually in need. He is so excited to touch all of them. I tell you, he is so excited to do that. And I believe that that is what the church is all about today. We must be excited about knowing what God can do in and through us. Amen? Amen. Probably Jesus would lose all the reason why he would ask his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Because he said, there are a lot of things that we need to do. People are scattered. But the Bible tells us they are scattered because they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are wandering. In fact, if I can give you my testimony, a little bit of my testimony, I was a wanderer. I was actually a person who did not know about life. In fact, I came to the moment wherein I was so miserable that I wanted to just cut my life off. I wanted to just commit suicide. I did not know anything about God. And I have come to that moment wherein I said, there's no hope at all. I was a young man. I was studying in college at that time. And I thought, what can this life offer to me? There was nothing there anymore. Although you have your plans, you have your ambition to finish your course, or perhaps to finish your studies and do something else. But I lost that because my life was so miserable. I did not understand myself. I have come to the point wherein everything was so discouraging. And finally, in my moment of despair, I was out there, the front yard, and I was looking up somewhere. If I could just see Jesus up there. You know, sometimes you look around and you don't see any answer to whatever you despair about. But when you look up, somehow you know and understand that there is someone up there. So I called out and I said, Lord, if you are really true, and if you can forgive me, if you are really God, please speak to me right now. I'm so tired with my life, and I'd like to give my life to you. And then peace came into my life, and immediately I was reminded of the Gideon Bible that I was given to me. I was given to me a Gideon Bible. And I went back to my room, and it was there under my pillow. And I have never read that. And then I scanned through it, and then my mind was directed to John 3:16, and I said, could this be true? Could this be true? In other words, I'm not going to perish. In other words, I have life. So I opened it up, and then I started understanding it. And I said, yes, this is true. And then I gave my life to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to give my life. I was a changed person that day. Wow. The thing that I wanted to do to finish everything, and not even to finish my life, I tell you, my life has become so exciting. And then, lo and behold, I was called by the Lord to become a pastor. Immediately after I graduated from college, I went to Bible college and started my studies there. And so this was way back in the 70s. Many of you were not born yet. But anyway, so I started doing this and no regret, I tell you. Serving the Lord with all excitement is so exciting. So exciting. Because I fully understand now and even before that God has something special for me. And a special task for me to do. I have been in ministry for a while. And in any places, in anywhere I go, I see a lot of people who are actually hurting. So many people are so discouraged. There was that person. Oh, by the way, I came one time here in the U.S. I was invited to speak. This was way back in 1988. And I was at a camp in Texas, somewhere in Texas. And I was ministering to the people, and then there was this somebody, he said, I am a lonely person. He was only 17 years old. And he said, and then when he had an altar call, he came to me and said, can you pray for me? I said, yeah, before I pray, may I know you? Of course, I wanted to know his life, because I want to be very specific when I pray to somebody who is actually in need of Jesus. And he said, you know what? When I came, I just did not know what to do with my life anymore. He said, if nothing is going to happen today, he said, I'm going to kill myself. He had that suicidal kind of an attitude already in his heart. His name was Richard, and I will never forget that name. He was 17 years old. And don't say he started telling me about his frustration. He embraced me and he cried and he cried. This shoulder of mine was wet with his tears. And then that day, he got home and he said, you know what? I'm going to write you again. He wrote me a letter and he said, I'm happy that you have ministered to me. And I am now serving the Lord. Amen. There was one person. In fact, Shirley, my teacher in Sunday school, one time she was teaching in Sunday school in the church. And every time she mentions about, you know, Jesus loves you, there was this young person who would scream out. Ah! She did not want to listen to this phrase, Jesus loves you. And so the people were stirred up, and finally, my attention was called. So I sat beside that person. I'm telling you this story because I want you to know that there are so many people who are actually in need today. So I sat down with that person, and I started ministering to him. But the words that I would use is that Jesus loves you, and he would scream, and he would scream, and he would scream. But I keep on telling him, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And finally, he was like a dead person. He collapsed. And then I asked him, what happened to you? He said, that black person in me came out. And I am not delivered. I said, what happened to your life? And he said, I was a Christian, but then I backslid. And I happened to pass by this church, and I heard that there was something going on in the teaching. And so, see, he was there. But you know what? He said, I am a delivered person. He said, a black man came out of him. So somehow the demon has possessed him. And then I said, can you write me a letter? He went back to one of the islands. And then in 1 week time, he wrote me a letter and he said, I am now in the church serving the Lord. Oh, I tell you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is exciting to serve the Lord, because we know that when God uses us, and if we allow ourselves to be used by the Lord with all that compassion in our hearts, God is going to do something about it. Amen. We are reminded of the word when he said, my word that is being preached is not going to return to me void. It is going to accomplish much in the lives of those that we minister unto. But the Bible tells us also, and he said, he was going out there teaching in their synagogues. Teaching in their synagogues. Why are we teaching the word of God? Of course we have to. Because people or the world today is filled with so much false teaching. We have one in the Philippines today. He claimed that the New Jerusalem is actually in the southern part of the Philippines. He said, that's the, you know, Jerusalem. And he said, I am now the appointed Son of God. You know, when Jesus died, and when he rose from the dead and he went back to heaven, now he is the Father and the Son is not there anymore. So God has to appoint somebody to become a son. So he presented himself and he is now the Son of God. Oh, by the way, he has a lot of followers here in America among the Filipinos. But there are people who would claim a lot of teachings going on in the world today that are so false. People who are actually so deceived because of the kind of teaching that we receive. But we praise the Lord for Foursquare because we preach the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There is so much false teaching in the world today that we need to teach the real word. The Bible tells us if you just teach the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, then people's mind and their hearts will be open unto him. Hallelujah. And that is exactly what God is going to do as we preach the gospel. He said, he is there teaching the gospel. He is there to preach the gospel. But a good thing about his ministry is this. He goes out into the open and reach out for those who are actually sick. He said, healing every sickness. Amen. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Every disease. I was told one time that many people who are actually in the hospital are not really sick of something that is, you know, call it disease, but more on psychological problem. 85% or 80% in the hospital. I remembered one time A doctor told me that somebody was actually complaining that she was sick. She was a little old lady. And said, no, you are not sick. The doctor said, no, you are not sick. I said, but I am sick. And no, you are not. I need to have an injection. They said, okay, I'll give you an injection. So what the doctor did, you know, the distilled water, put it into the needle. And then the moment she got the shot, she feels okay. As long as something gets inside her body, she will be okay. But the thing is, that problem is not really something to do with the body. It has something to do with mind. And a lot of people who are actually, there are a lot of people who are sick with that kind of a disease. But regardless of the kind of a disease that people have, God is interested in healing them all. Now, there are instances in the scriptures when in the Lord, Jesus Christ, restored back the life of a little young girl. That is because of his compassion. There was a woman who was actually following Jesus, and there was no way that somebody can push her to come to Jesus Christ because Jesus was actually busy. But there was this lady, and he said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And the moment that healing power came out of him, Jesus recognized it. Somebody has touched me. And the disciples told him, well, of course, everybody's wanting to touch you. But he said, there is that special power that came out of me. And he was ministering to this lady, and he said, lady, your faith has healed you. God is never going to abandon nor reject anybody. He is there to heal because that is where his compassion is placed on. He has compassion on everyone. Not just for the Christians, not just for a group of people, because sometimes we can be very selective. But the Bible tells us that anyone who comes to him, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, whether you are rich or poor, nothing. I mean, there is no distinction as far as God is concerned. He willingly accepts everybody to come to him because he wants to heal them. He wants to heal them. You know, because of pride, we don't want people to serve us. We don't want people to touch us because we're kind of an isolated person. But the Bible tells us also that despite of that situation, God can do something about it. He ministers to us in a very powerful way because it has something to do with disease in our spirit, and even in our soul. And God would like to really advance on and touch people at the point of the need. The Bible tells us, he said, he saw this crowd weary. Weary of what? They said that the Filipinos, among the nations of the world, we rank, I think, number 21 as happy people. Even if we do not have anything to eat, we are still happy. We just laugh out whatever problems we have. And sometimes we continue to laugh and something is already going on in our mind, in our brain. Of course, we do not laugh by ourselves and then cross the streets and then start laughing because something might be going on. But the Bible tells us that laughing or being joyful in the Lord is also a kind of medicine to all of us. But the Bible tells us also that when you look at all these people, they are so weary. Oh, we are so weary in doing a lot of things, by the way. One time I got hospitalized. I was just new as president at that time. I was only serving for 2 years. I was already hospitalized for 3 times. And then, doctor, I said, can I ask, some specialist to check on you? I said, sure. And so they check on me. And neurologist, ENT, whoever they were, and they check on me. And they said, what's the problem with me? And my doctor said, no, I have to wait for the result of the examination done by the other doctors. And so I waited. I was in the hospital for 2 days already, and I got so bored. It's boring to be in the hospital. So boring. And I don't like to stay in the hospital. So I said, can I get out? Not yet. We have to wait for all the results. And then finally, my doctor said, we came up with one thing. I said, what's my problem? He said, overstress. Oh, so what's the solution? Don't be stressed. I said, okay. Okay. But what can I do when you have over 3,000 pastors under you? I mean, if you are pastoring a large church like this, and there are like 400 people probably in the church, think about the 400 possible stresses, points in the life of a pastor. So don't make any problem anyway. But anyway, so a lot of pastors, and every time there are problems, it comes to me. But, you know, I can be affected with that. And I said, oh, okay. So I started to tone down, I started to calm down, and I get over it a little bit. And just recently, I was hospitalized again. And this time, I was a little bit nervous. Just recently, this was 1 month ago. And I was hospitalized for 2.5 days. And again, I was aboard. And I had a neurologist, and somebody was checking on my brain and something like that. I had a CT scan, and then the first finding was that I had a stroke. Because my blood pressure shot up 162 over 98, I think. That's a little bit high. That's a little bit high. Well, not a little bit, that's high. Okay. So I was a little bit scared. I said, okay. And then, so I have to undergo all these procedures. Finally, I said, when am I going to get out of this hospital? And the doctor said, you are just like any other, you know, patient. Finally, they checked on me and they wanted me to go through the last CT scan. And I asked the doctor to explain to me, what kind of medicine are you going to put into my body? He said, we are going to put something like a dye so that everything can be seen, because they have seen something in my brain. They call it ischemic thing. And he said, I have some kind of an experience in the past that we already had a stroke, but I did not succumb to it. In other words, I think I was strong enough to go through that. I may have. And I was waiting for the neurologist to come to visit me and tell me everything. And so I was still in my bed. And then my wife was talking to the hospital nurse, or perhaps the attendant and the doctor, and said, what am I going to do with my husband when he would pee, you know? And I said, oh, no, he is not allowed to stand up. He should lie down on his bed. And then what shall I do? He said, put on some diapers on him. And then I overheard it. And I said, no way. I will not allow anybody to put the diapers on me. I'm not really that old. No way. And so I said, I'm going to get up. I need to go to the restroom. My wife said, but the doctor told me not to. But I said, but I'm going there. I can do it. And I walk. You know, I was challenging myself. I said, I don't want somebody to put the diaper. Don't let anybody do that. So, and then I went back to my bed and I sat down. And according to some doctors, I should not be doing that because I had a stroke. But my neurologist said, you are okay. And then a lot of procedures. I said, Doc, the other doctor told me I had a stroke. And he said, no, I rolled it out. You did not have a stroke. Hallelujah. I knew it. You know why? I said, with all the experiences that I have, and there were already marks on my brain, the marks of the spots in my brain that I went through a lot of that, it must be the strength of the Lord. It must be the healing power of God that was working in me. That God has spared my life from that, you know, fatal stroke. Sometimes it can happen to many of us. But I praise the Lord, when I heard my doctor say that, I cried. Not because I was free, but I was beginning to remember all the words the Lord said, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. If you've reached the gospel, I'm going to be with you. You can pick up serpents and they are not going to hurt you. You can drink poisonous things and it shall not kill you. I'm going to be with you wherever you are. And I remember those words, and he started to cry before the Lord. I said, Lord, thank you that you have been my healer. And because of that, I just continued to believe that God is a God who is so compassionate, that he is not going to reject anyone who would come to him. If we come to Him because we have problems, He is going to answer that prayer. God is an answering prayer God. Amen? Yes. He is a prayer answering God. Whatever we present to Him, whatever He comes to Him. But the Bible tells us also as a church, there are a lot of needs that we need to think about. The Bible also is very specific when it told the church that we need to stay dressed for action and keep our lamps burning because God is coming soon and we may not have the opportunity to preach. We may not have that opportunity to minister to people now at the moment. That's why everywhere I go, I really like to give opportunity for people to be healed. And I just feel in my spirit that God is going to do something today. I had my problem with my body. I have been sick. I do not know that whenever I travel, I would always be sick. And last night, you know, the first night, I could not go to sleep. I had a jet lag. Last night, I had another one. And I said, Lord, please help me. I mean, just put me to sleep, Lord, because I'm going to preach tomorrow. I don't want to collapse in the middle of my preaching. And so the Lord has put me to sleep, and I woke up. You know what time? I woke up at 8:30 in the morning. Hallelujah. And I thought, oh, I might be late. Or maybe 8:15. And so I have to take my shower, getting ready to come. God is a good God. Amen. God is a good God. I was ministering to our church where we are pastoring right now. And I was calling out for people who are specifically for someone who had that problem with his heart. I said, you had a heart problem right now. And you are at pain. But I'd like you to come and then we will pray for you. And he came forward and he said, you know, I was in pain. And in fact, my family was prompting me to go to the hospital. And so he was there. And we prayed for him. But then this is what he said. God is preparing him to be prayed for because he was about to go to the hospital. Immediately he has to go to the hospital. When they went to the hospital that day, he was immediately admitted. He has to go through a lot of procedures. He had problem with his heart. But right now, God has healed him. He is well. He is serving me a lot of fruit and food. And now he is thinking about going to Bible school. He is already like 50 plus or 50. And he is wanting to go to Bible college and serve the Lord as a pastor. And that is the goodness of the Lord at work in the lives of the people. Amen? But let us be ready because God is going to use us. God is going to use all of us wherever we go. I remember before coming, 3 days before coming, I was also sick. I had severe headache. I was resting in the house where we are. And then somebody came, one of the workers in the church, and said, I have something for you to sign. Okay, can't go. And then I signed it. I said, just tell those in the office that I'm not reporting to the office this afternoon because I'm sick. And this young man, he said, Pastor, can I pray for you? You know, like, okay, I should be praying for you, not you praying for me. No. I said, sure. And I asked him to pray for me. It was just a simple prayer. Lord, Pastor Val is sick. I pray that you will heal him in Jesus' name. When he left, the pain was gone. Amen. God is a prayer answering God. Amen? Amen. He answers our prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone, you may think that you are big in the church, you know, like you are much higher than them. No, we are just the same. Anybody can pray for me. Anyone can be prayed for. And God is no respecter of person. He touches everyone who comes to him. Amen. 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 So may I ask everybody to please stand at this time? Can we stand up? And I'd like to pray for those who are actually sick today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I also feel that there is someone here who is having problem with your heart. You are that person. Kindly just raise your hand. You are having problem with your heart. Anyone? Okay. Would you care to come forward? Any person have problem with your prostate? It is very common among the men. Yeah, is there anyone here? Kidney problem? You have pain on your back? You have Please come. Heart and kidney problem. How about hypertension? Please come. There is also this person that sometimes you feel like your tummy is bloating from time to time. Is there anyone here? You feel bad with your tummy? Just come. You have that? Okay. Hallelujah. You have problem with your shoulder? Any person has problem with shoulder? Any part of your shoulder? And you are at pain from time to time? Just come. Okay. Come. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Someone who is also having a problem with your neck. That's it? Okay. Hallelujah. I just want to be sure that God is able to touch you today. God is a good God. Anyone who comes to Him, He's not going to refuse. You have a problem with sinusitis? Anyone? Problem with sinusitis? Okay, come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in the Lord because we know that God is going to touch you right now. In fact, I have faith in my heart that God has already touched you. That's why I called you to come forward. Because I know in my spirit that God has already touched you. Now, I feel the pain of someone that has a problem with the heart. Is that you? The heart? Do you have some pains in your heart right now? I just feel it very strongly. Very strongly. Can some of us just gather around them and just touch them as I pray? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, is there any lady who has, you have some kind of growth on your breast? Anyone? You have that problem. I have seen ladies who had been sick with cancer. I was ministering to this lady who had been sick with cancer on her breast. And she was in pain. And when I called out in my body just like this, the Lord just pushed me to lay my hands on that lady. And I claimed healing for her. And she wanted to know whether she was really healed. She went to the doctor the day after. The result was she was completely healed. There was another lady who had problem with her breast cancer again. And 3 days after that, everything that was in her breast came out. And she is cancer free right now. The Lord is a good God. I'd like you to lay your hands right now. I want you to claim your healing. That healing that is reserved for you, it's yours. You just receive it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we come to you. Our healer. You are our physician. You called out your people, Lord, one by one because you want to touch each one of them. We see all the pains right now. You see all the pains that they have. Lord, and thank you that you will never allow anything that will happen to them anymore. You want to touch them and you will heal them according to your word. Yes. Because nothing is impossible with you. Yes. That's why right now, Lord, we claim your healing power to be upon them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We receive your healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we receive your healing right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you are our Father. We thank you that you are a God who is moved with compassion whenever you see our condition, Lord. Yes. Whenever you see we are at pain, you are moved with compassion. Yes. And now, Lord, thank you that today is the day that the Lord has made for everybody to receive our healing in Jesus' name. That heart problem, Lord, that pain is going to be gone in Jesus' name. That kidney problem is gone in Jesus' name. And all the pains that your people are having right now, it will be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And this is all for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, Lord. And we would like to give you all the praise and the glory, Lord, for healing your people today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But there is one person. You still have that kind of a pain here. Is there someone here? You still have that pain right now. Right here. Right now. You have that pain right now? Okay. Yeah, I just feel it. There is someone who is added to that pain. In Jesus' name, I want you to receive your healing. Right now. The Lord is saying to you, just receive your healing and you will be healed in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 That pain is gone. Hallelujah. It's gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, next Sunday when you come back, tell your pastors about your healing. Amen.
Amen.
You are healed. You are healed. Amen. God bless you and thank you very much.